Fill us with joy and gratitude. Open our hearts to your wisdom, O God, our great creator. Amen. It is so good to see you all here and to know you were willing to take a break from your busy lives and to come experience this most ordinary yet extraordinary story of the night Christ was born. So my Granny Maggie was a big influence in my life. She was a devout Catholic and loved Christmas, in particular, Midnight Mass. She was my grandmother on my mom's side and lived in Indiana, so I didn't get to see her as often as I wanted, but when we did get together, we always had a great time. She was that grandma. My grandparents lived across the street from their church, so it wasn't hard to get there when we visited for Christmas. She loved having the family together, as did my grandpa. He loved to cook, and they had 20 grandkids and 6 children, so there was a lot of food to prepare. There was always a mix of my aunts and uncles, along with cousins, every year we went to visit. One year we were there a little early, so I got to have my granny all to myself on Christmas Eve. So of course we went to Midnight Mass together. I remember asking her why she liked this service so much, and she told me, it was because it was the night we celebrated the birth of Christian hope into the world, when God broke open the world and light poured in. It's the beginning of joy and peace and hope, a reminder that even the most ordinary beginnings can become extraordinary. Now, I'm not sure that the ideas of hope and peace were non-existent before Christ's birth, but as Christians, we certainly understood them in a different context, in a different way, after Jesus was born, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. My granny also taught me much about justice and community engagement, also a sermon for another time. I'm working up a series here. My granny's wisdom. Our text for today is a familiar one for many of us. And so I wonder how we can hear this story with fresh ears and fresh hearts. We find ourselves on a journey with Joseph and Mary to an unfamiliar place as they make their way to be registered in the city of David called Bethlehem. Now, this is important in the gospel text as it establishes Jesus as being from the house of David. While there, it came time for Mary to give birth. After Jesus was born, he was wrapped in cloth and laid in a manger. These all sound like somewhat ordinary events to take place. Now, please get me right. I acknowledge that giving birth is anything but ordinary, especially at this time. Yet I want to point out that this text mentions them as seemingly normal occurrences. No angels appearing at the birth, etc., even being counted in a census, continues to be a regular part of their lives today, our lives today. Then we hear about the shepherds just minding their own business, working in the fields, and suddenly an angel appears, telling them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people." That seems a little out of place. I don't know that they would have seen that in their everyday work. And as the angel shares the good news of their Savior's birth, accompanied by a magnitude of heavenly hosts, the shepherds go and see for themselves this good news and then return, glorifying and praising God. I know something like that happened to me, I would want to share it with a lot of people too. So Mary treasured all the words and pondered them in her heart. It's a little different than running around and telling everyone she knew, right? And it is at this part of the text that we first see a glimpse of the extraordinary nature of this birth. So as I reread this text, I was reminded of my granny and a question that she posed one year. She said, "I wonder what was in Mary's heart that night. What was she pondering? To know such deep love, yet also concern about the world and life to which her son was being called. What must that have been like for her? So it was through the ordinary that God chose to break open the world, through the birth of Jesus, through Jesus's birth to a regular family, a humble family, not one in power or of great wealth or riches, to reveal his birth to everyday shepherds, tending their flocks at night. They weren't of royal lineage or connected to anyone specific. They were just doing their jobs. And so this sets a precedence for God's love for all people and would set the stage for Jesus's later message of God's preference for the poor, the outcast, and oppressed. This message of love, peace, and justice is as important today as it was when it began. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. In many ways, the manger can be like coming home for those who may have none, or whose home may be challenged, creating a third place where all are equal in the eyes of God, a place where God is drawing people out of their ordinary lives to meet him at the birth of Jesus. God's incarnation, God made flesh in the world. So how might this story be speaking to us anew this year? What new wisdom might Mary's turn towards reflection show us? Or how might we re-engage with awe and wonder this season? My granny and I would go to many midnight masses together, and she would share much of her hard-earned wisdom with me. I was blessed to be ordained on her birthday, and I know she would be proud of me for sharing the good news of Christ's birth with all of you this evening. While the journey for Mary and Joseph was a difficult one, the birth of their son was about God coming to join us, to be one with us as closely as possible, bringing us peace, grace, love, hope, joy. And I hope we can all remember the message of peace that Jesus's birth brings to us, to be kind to ourselves and our families, however we define those, and to extend that same loving kindness to all we meet on our journeys, sharing peace with all whom we meet today and always. Amen.